Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Man, this is a good Wednesday. We're having a good Wednesday. Father Hugh Barber, first hour, second hour. Carlo Broussard, it's pretty hard to beat that. We're going to talk with Carlo this hour about why apologetics matters. Apologetics is what we do here at Catholic Answers. And if you'd like to talk with Carlo about that, maybe start dialing now, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Okay, so apologetics is what we do. What does it mean, though?
Hi, Si.
Oh.
Here I am.
Hi. It's so funny. I've been sitting here chatting with you. I forgot that I didn't say hello to you. Hello, Carlo. Happy to have you here with us.
Why, thank you, Si. I appreciate that introduction.
That was so rude.
No problem, brother. Yeah, so apologetics is basically the science of giving a reasoned explanation for one's position of belief, for one's belief.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can take a reasoned defense if somebody is objecting to your belief and trying to criticize it or undermine it. But the term apologetics or apology comes from the Greek word apologia, which literally means a reasoned explanation or a reasoned defense. And so you can be an apologist for basically anything, right? So you can be an apologist for atheism, trying to give a reasoned explanation for an atheistic worldview. You can be an apologist for Islam, you know, Muslim apologists, right? And giving reasoned explanations for their belief, for Buddhist apologists, or whatever it may be. So for us as Christians, apologetics takes the form of giving reasoned explanations for why we believe what we believe as Christians, and in particularly as Catholics, when it comes to those certain Catholic distinctives that our Protestant brothers and sisters might disagree with, right? So that's basically what apologetics is, a reasoned explanation and or defense for a position of belief, in our case, our Christian belief.
And it seems so intuitive. Like, yes, we should be explaining and defending our faith, but it is not without some controversy. Like, you'll hear people say, no, we should really just be focusing on evangelization, just share the good news, or we should be focusing on service and that kind of thing. And all of this is kind of just, I don't know, the mental contest or something.
Right,
like,
right.
So what do you say to that?
Yeah, well, first of all, the two things that you just said presupposes a flawed understanding that apologetics is not evangelization.
Okay.
And that apologetics is not service. But I would challenge those assumptions, because apologetics is not evangelization in its entirety, but the end of apologetics is the end of evangelization, namely communion with Jesus Christ and coming into that relationship with Christ. And as Catholics, we would say with the church as well, because the church is the body of Christ. But apologetics is one tool among many in order to try and achieve that end. And apologetics is that tool that's going to deal with the intellectual aspect of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically fundamental to who we are as a human being.
Yeah.
In as much as we are human beings, we desire to know, as Aristotle said at the beginning of the Metaphysics. Every man desires to know. And the fundamental question that manifests that desire to know is, why?
Yeah.
You know, we started from the very get-go of my children, you know, and just, you know, when my children were 3 and 4 and my 5-year-old, why this, daddy? Why that? Why? Right?
Right.
So it's fundamental to who we are as human beings. And simply giving the answer to these whys is the role of apologetics. That's what apologetics is all about. And in fact, I would argue that you cannot help but do apologetics. Because if you try to deny the usefulness of apologetics and to try to undermine apologetics and say we should not be using apologetics, you're actually doing apologetics in order to deny the use of apologetics.
Ah, there we go, Carlo. It's that old, what do you call that when something refutes itself?
Self-referentially incoherent statement. Yeah. Because what you're doing is you're actually making an assertion based upon some reasons. There's some reason why you think that we ought not to do apologetics. But in as much as you're basing your conclusion upon those reasons why, you're giving a persuasive answer, right? A persuasive explanation, which is the essence of apologetics. Now, I think where people have a hard time swallowing apologetics or getting into apologetics, because sometimes the purity of apologetics and what it is can be marred in that it's associated with uncharitable modes or manners or ways.
Oh, of speaking to another person.
That's right, yeah. In which we do apologetics. So, yeah. You know, like I think Peter Crave one time used the analogy of the sword, like arguments, and apologetic arguments are like the sword, which is an extension of the person, right? So it all depends on – the sword itself is good, right? And it can be used for bad or for evil, right? So it kind of all depends upon who's wielding the sword
yeah.
that will determine the effectiveness of the wielding, right?
Right.
And so that's something that we have to keep in mind as Christians as we're engaging in conversations with folks and say, you know, listen, everybody wants to know why, you know, and we want to give those reasons why in order for them to come to the knowledge of the truth, but we have to do so with charity.
Yeah.
And this brings me to my next point. You had mentioned earlier that some people might say, well, it's just we need to just be serving people, right? And loving people and not getting engaged in all of these intellectual arguments. But that assumes that apologetics is not a form of service. But it is a form of service. Anytime you try to help somebody come to knowledge of what is true, to come to knowledge of what is real, there's no greater service than that, because in as much as you bring somebody to come to the knowledge of the truth, you're bringing somebody to Jesus in essence, because Jesus is the truth. And that's true service. You're serving the other person in as much as you're trying to lead them to the good, to lead them to what's going to perfect them as a human being, namely the truth as embedded in the Catholic Church, right? The fullness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a service. And that indeed is love. Love is to will the good of another, and the good of another is truth, and the truth is embedded in the Catholic Church. And so when you try to share that truth with others,
yeah.
you're in fact engaging in an act of love. Now, of course, we've got to be careful in how we do it. We don't want to be a jerk, right, and
yeah.
you know, and turn somebody off, etc. But that's the mode and the manner of evangelizing, of doing apologetics. We're talking about apologetics in and of itself. It can be done and viewed through the lens of love. And that's kind of the message I want to get out to folks listening today, because I've experienced in my own ministry side, you know, some people have an aversion to apologetics because they think it's all negative, they think it's all triumphalistic, and it's uncharitable stuff. But I think it's important that we try to draw the distinction between the mode and the manner in apologetics itself, so that we can understand that apologetics is trying to meet a fundamental human need, the need for knowledge, the need for truth, and answering that fundamental question of why, especially when it comes to the greatest truth, Jesus Christ himself.
There's also just a resistance in our time to reasoning at all. That you're just once you start to have a conversation about, hey, what's true and what's false, what you're doing is invading what is supposed to be this reserved private space where I have my truth and you stay in your lane where you have your truth.
That's right. So relativism comes into play and can serve as an obstacle, right, to rational discourse and coming to the knowledge of the truth. So as I point out in my book, Prepare the Way, that's the very first step, right? When we're preparing a way for God, the gospel, and the church, preparing the way for God presupposes preparing the way for truth. So we have to first deal with relativism if that's an obstacle, right? And to get someone to see that there is a truth in order for the mind to come to know, which is going to perfect me as a human being because I'm made for that. And then we begin the process of inquiring into God, Jesus, and the church, etc. And so that's, you know, sort of the layout of the book and sort of the trajectory and the strategy that I take in my book, Prepare the Way.
Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church is Carlo's, it's I was going to say latest book, but it's your only book at the moment. But
it's my
got
own.
That, I know you got that
right.
other one
I'm
coming.
Working on another one. We're looking at fall 2019. So.
And, oh, very good. So you can get that at shop.catholic.com, probably anywhere where good Catholic books are sold. So if you are a person who maybe, you know, you want, I don't know how to get started in apologetics. This hour it would be for you. Maybe someone who wants to engage in a particular apologetic conversation with Protestant or an atheist, that kind of thing. This hour is for you. Or maybe you are like we were just talking about. You've either you yourself or you know someone who dismisses the whole apologetic endeavor as uncharitable or triumphalistic or mean or something along those lines. We would love to have your call. 888-318-7884. The number for you to talk with Carlo. 888-318-7884. And while you dial, I will do this. Carlo, you and I along with Tim Staples and a bunch of other people from Catholic Answers, are going on a cruise in February, and we'd like people to come with us.
Amen.
February 10th through 17th, we'll be aboard Holland America's MS New Stottendam, cruising around the Caribbean, and we'll be talking apologetics.
We're going to have a good old time.
Yeah, we'll be singing, having fun, having lots of conversations, praying together.
At the same time, satisfying the desire for knowledge. We're going to satisfy the belly.
Yeah.
And we're going to satisfy the mind.
Amen. And I'm interested particularly in the thing you're going to do there about you're a better apologist than you think you are.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the themes that's going to run throughout the variety of talks that we'll be engaging in is to, you know, to try to share with folks, you know, some propositions, some ideas that they encounter within the workplace, within family-friendly conversations, you know, and the idea is to try to articulate for them that they actually have some tools in the tool bags that they probably don't know are there. And they intuitively sort of are able to articulate some things, but we want to make that explicit for them and let them realize, wow, yeah, I actually do know some things in apologetics, and then try to take them deeper and teach them a thing or two that they don't already know. So that's sort of the general thrust of the theme of the talks that we'll be engaging in.
We'd really love it if you'd come with us. You just go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to sign up. If you prefer a phone call to make it happen, you can call the Cruise Authority at 800-707-1634. That's 800-707-1634. They'll get you all set. They'll call you right back. It's masses every day because Father Chrysostom Baer will be there.
Fantastic.
Wonderful Norbertine priest will be our chaplain. He'll be hearing confessions. Lots of talks. Just tons of great conversation.
Yeah.
And then you do all the stuff that you do when you're in the Caribbean.
Amen. It's going to be a great time. And I love these opportunities to engage with folks, you know, to just hang out with them, get to know them. It's not just, you know, a speaker on a stage giving a talk, and then all of a sudden they got to, you know, get in the private car and go away, right, and have their privacy.
Which doesn't work on a boat anyways, Carlo.
Hey, man, I might jump in the sea and start swimming, right?
Yeah.
No, but the idea is to hang out, you know?
Yeah.
And so these talks are not just about, you know, oh, these super awesome rock stars giving a talk. Oh, my goodness, you know, whatever.
No.
But it's a matter of just sitting down, relaxing, having a conversation, growing in knowledge about the truth and about the faith together, getting feedback from the folks. I love that, and getting questions and insights. You know, just last night I was talking with some young people, sharing with them about some stuff about relativism. They had some great insights in return that helped me in my own formulation of my articulation.
Happens,
and
so,
you know, as one, my son's kung fu Sifu, whatever, master, when he was taking karate, I remember in one of his instructional videos, he once said, you know, two minds is better than one. So he was all about getting feedback and insight from his students. If they saw a particular move could be done in a better way or this sort of insight. And so that's what I like about being able to hang out with folks and doing apologetics, is because two minds and three minds is greater than one. And so I'm going to learn just as much from them as they will from me.
That annoys me because my Kung Fu Sensei does not listen at all. You can't get through to that.
Well, I think Kung Fu Sensei is like a juxtaposition of two different
categories. Don't start with me, Carlo. Don't start with me, Carlo. One rock star will be on the cruise. Chris Check, our president, is going to give talks on Christopher Columbus. And
he is our Sifu here.
Yeah, is he really? And he'll give talks on Cortez as well. And you're not going to be around Chris, and he's not going to get to Our Lady of Guadalupe and the conversion of the Americas and all these important things as we go to Mexico and see the Mayan ruins there. And it's just going to be a great time. We really want you to come. Come on with us. CatholicAnswersCruise.com is where you go to get all the information. CatholicAnswersCruise.com, or call the Cruise Authority directly at 800-707-1634. Right back with more Why Apologetics Matters with Carlo Broussard right after this.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com. Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer, Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Pride of Crowley, Louisiana is our guest today, Carlo Broussard, apologist extraordinaire, speaker extraordinaire. You're going to be talking. You're going to be doing some talks down in Louisiana.
Yeah, right? Actually, yeah, we're going for about a couple of weeks for a family vacation to visit my folks. Yeah. And I will be speaking at a couple of parishes there. So I actually do have availability for one more event to book while we're there, sort of in the Lafayette Diocese or the Baton Rouge Diocese, any of those, or even the Lake Charles Diocese. So if anybody out there is listening and would like to book me while I'm...
Just keep going west, or Houston.
If anybody's listening is interested in booking me for an event or something, I have availability probably for one. I could fit one more event in there. So yeah, I'll be speaking. We're working on an event at the cathedral there in Lafayette for some youth.
Oh, great.
And then one of my good friends, Father Jason Palermo in French Settlement, which is in the Baton Rouge Diocese on the Bayou, brother. And so good folks down there. So I'll be going giving a couple of talks for those guys as well. So I'm looking forward to it.
So when you're in those parishes down there in the Bayou, you speak some French or will it all be in English?
Well, let me just say it like this. I speak with Cajun tones.
Right.
Unfortunately, I never learned the French language itself.
You know some, though.
Well, yeah, just a few words here and there. But okay. I mean, I used to sing it, but I never knew what I was singing about.
Well, if you're in Louisiana and your name is Boudreaux or Thibodeau, come to these talks. You don't want to miss these talks with Carlo Broussard. We're talking about this hour with Carlo about apologetics, why apologetics matters. Already, phone lines filling up. Anything you need to say before we go to calls? Or
no, I'm good and ready to rock and roll.
All right, Angie in St. Louis, Missouri. Listening on 1046 AM Catholic Radio. That's an interesting number. Angie, your question for Carlo. Hi, Angie. Is it snowing there, Angie? I think I hear snow falling in the background. No? All right, we're going to come back to you, Angie. Hang on. Wait a second. I might have pushed the wrong button. Angie, I think I had you on hold. Are you there, Angie?
I'm here.
That was so mean. That was so mean. I'm acting like you're not there.
She's probably talking in the phone. Hello? Hello?
I pushed the hold button. Oh, okay. Forget it. I will go hang my head in shame. Your question for Carlo.
Hi. I just had a question. I wanted to know if there was anything that you would suggest, possibly a book or something that is a very simple breakdown of Catholic apologetics for Protestant friends.
Sure.
I have a lot of Protestant friends, and they just have so many misconceptions, and I just don't know where to start sometimes. And
right. Do they have obstacles that you'd like to help them overcome, Angie? Are there obstacles to the faith?
I would at least like them, because they seem to have only focused on the horrible things they've heard.
Right. Oh.
They don't really know anything. Okay. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's like just so off base, but yet I don't want to be too pushy or in their face. Or
okay.
I have more Protestant friends than Catholic friends, unfortunately.
Yeah. So sometimes that is the case, Angie. And so, well, God bless you for even being willing to engage in conversation with your Protestant friends and to share with them, you know, what we believe as Catholics. I think one resource that I would recommend right off the top of my head is we've published it here at Catholic Answers. The author is by my colleague and friend Trent Horn. The title of the book is Why We're Catholic. And that's a great introduction to various topics that we deal with in conversation with others, from agnostics and atheists to skeptics to Christianity, and even for Protestants. You know, I think half of the book deals with certain questions that our Protestant brothers and sisters will ask us. And it teaches you how to respond to those Protestant questions in very simple ways. It's a very easy to read book, but very profound. So it's very digestible. So I would encourage you and recommend you to get a hold of Why We're Catholic. So that's a one simple book for you. We also, you might want to check out this. We also have a great resource that would be helpful for you, Angie, and it's entitled The Protestant's Dilemma by Devin Rose. And what he does, it's a brilliant strategy, and he gives sort of a fresh approach in how we can engage in dialogue with our Protestant friends. And the premise of the book, or I guess the formula, is if Protestantism is true, then this follows, like X follows, or whatever it might be. If Protestantism is true, well then, and then he goes down the list of all these various things that would follow from the antecedent if Protestantism were true. And it's an easy to read book. It's a great resource. So those would be two books, Angie, that I would recommend you get right away. And then, of course, you can always check out our website at Catholic.com. We have scores of free articles for you to read that deal with these Catholic distinctives, you know, about Mary, the saints, purgatory, the papacy. You can type in any of these key words in our search engine, and various articles, audio files, videos will come up in order to equip you with the answers that you need in order to answer these sorts of questions. And I might give myself a plug to be on the lookout for my next book in fall 2019. And the working title is Answering the Protestant Challenge. And so the idea is, how can the Catholic Church teach X when the Bible says Y? And I'll be coaching you on how to answer some of those challenges.
Okay, Angie.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
And I might just say one thing, Cy, before we move on to our next caller. As far as a practical tip, right? In order to engage in conversations, what we find in the ministry of apologetics is that so often, you know, whether our audience is atheist, agnostic, or in this case, our Protestant brothers and sisters, right, who have many false conceptions, right, about what the Catholic Church actually teaches. So the best practical tip that we could possibly have, and Trent Horan is very good at this and encouraging people with this, is to ask the question, well, okay, why do you believe that, right? Or first, I would even ask, you know, what do you believe? Like, what is your belief? What do you think the Catholic Church teaches? And then once you get that what, then you can ask the follow-up question of why. And what you'll find is more often than not, when they articulate what they think the Catholic Church teaches, it's probably going to be the case that it's not what the Catholic Church teaches.
You mean we don't teach that you're saved by works and not by faith?
Well, it all depends on what you mean by that, right? Do you mean we're saved by works in that initial stage of justification?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is no, we're not saved by works in that initial stage of justification.
Yeah.
If you're asking the question with regard to the progressive or the final dimension of salvation, well, then works do have a role to play in the achievement of that final salvation. So it just all depends. So I have to first ask what,
right?
And get clarity on the what. And then if it's not what the church teaches, well, then you can simply say, well, that's not what we believe. Next topic.
Yeah, right.
And of course, if they do articulate it right, well, then you begin looking at the reasons why we believe what we believe. So that would be some practical tips I would give Angie.
Angie, thanks very much for that call. 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking why apologetics matters with a great apologist, Carlo Broussard, apologist here at Catholic Answers, the author of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Carlo, you know what? Some people are just not going to believe. You can talk to them until you're blue in the face, and they're just not going to believe. Isn't that an argument against apologetics?
No, it is not. And the reason is because, listen, if we were to follow that line of reasoning, we would have to say that Jesus shouldn't have been going around proclaiming himself to be equal to the Father. Because when he went around proclaiming the truth about his identity, guess what? He wasn't successful. People put him on the cross for it, and they killed him. And they weren't persuaded by what he said and even what he did when he performed miracles in front of their face.
Right.
And they still didn't believe him. So if we were to argue for the validity, or if we were to try and undermine the validity of the project of apologetics based upon its success or lack of success, well, then we would have to reject the whole ministry of Jesus. Obviously, we don't want to do that, right? So we can't be judging the validity of the ministry of apologetics based upon its success. It doesn't matter. Well, I mean, it matters, but in the sense that even if you don't concede or buy the argument
right.
that I'm presenting to you, I'm still promoting the truth. And from my perspective, that's something we are obliged to do as Christians, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're moved even by nature, because fundamentally by nature, we must love fellow human beings, will their good. Once I come to know what that good is, so I'm going to be moved to try to help you experience that good and acquire that good for your perfection, right?
Yes.
But we're talking about supernatural goods like Jesus himself, right? And the life of the Trinity. Well, love is going to move me to want to share those great gifts with others, regardless if they want to accept it or not. But love moves me to do that because I will your good, not only your natural good, but your supernatural good, the ultimate end of your human existence, namely union with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's the primary motivation for apologetics and for anything that we do in the apostolic endeavor. Charity, that's the key.
Carlo Broussard is our guest. Why Apologetics Matters is our topic. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884. The number 888-31-TRUTH. Take a quick break and we'll be back with calls. Sorry for those of you I've kept waiting. We'll get to the calls right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Advent is upon us and Christmas approaches. Catholic Answers wants you to know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new products on doctrine, church history, morality, apologetics, and much more, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com today to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout and save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
The Catholic Church claims to be the religion in which the fullness of truth resides, but at times getting to the heart of any particular question of doctrine or morals can lead not only to personal confusion, but conflict and even disagreement among Catholics. In his new book, Teaching with Authority, Jimmy Akin sets the record straight. Teaching with Authority isn't about understanding specific teachings of the faith, but rather about understanding Catholic teaching itself. A unique, valuable, and long overdue resource for Catholics as well as those inquiring about the faith, Teaching with Authority will help deepen your understanding of what the Church teaches by showing you, maybe for the first time, how, why, and where it does. Get your copy of Teaching with Authority today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, managing tension.
Are you a stuffer, an exploder? We're going to help you manage the tension in your life and relationships gracefully.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard here with us, and we're talking about apologetics. What is apologetics, and why does it matter? Well, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884 if you have a question in that regard, and I have not been good to callers today. So I'm going to go to Stephen in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Stephen, thanks for your patience, patiently waiting. Your question for Carlo.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, well.
Stephen.
Hey, I just have a question. My cousin is a pastor for the Church of Christ, and so you can imagine we get into a lot of discussions. And he has a book called 10 Series of Meditations on the Mystery of the Rosary.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
No.
But in there, he says it's approved by the Catholic Church and that it's putting Mary up to be...
Oh,
like a god, like
I just got to clarify something with you. So you said he has this book. You mean he owns the book? He didn't. It's not a book that he wrote.
Exactly.
Okay.
He owns it.
Okay. Got it. So this is where he's getting his understanding of what the Catholic Church teaches about Mary.
Right, and you know, I've told them exactly, like, it, you know, that we don't look at her as a god. But the language in the book says, you know, you have to serve her and she'll save you and and things like that. And so he's saying, like, you only serve God and you only only God saves. And so I'm a little bit needing some help on what it means. Like, if that's true, like, if we're supposed to serve her in some way, or is this some kind of language that I'm just not familiar with?
Right. Yeah, no, this is a great question, Stephen. And so I think what we have to be careful of is when we're reading or coming across language that's being used in reference to honor and devotion of Mary or any of the saints, that the language that is being used is not being used in the technical theological sense. So it has a lot of flowery stuff to it, right? So upon face value, when you read it initially, it might seem apparently as if, you know, man, this is kind of like God stuff, like God talk here, right? But when you examine it and you realize actually that's not the case. So for example, just take the one example you brought up of serving Mary. I mean, if we're only to serve God, well, then can I not serve my wife? Can I not serve people and honor people here at Catholic Answers? And then, you know, the response is, well, of course you can serve, you know, but we can't serve somebody in a religious context like that because that's only attributable to God. Well, okay, so we take a step back and you might ask the question, okay, well, what do we mean by serve? If we mean by serve the honor and the worship, the honor that is due to God alone, which is adoration and worship, well, then we do not give that to Mary. And that is not the type of service or honor that we have in mind as Catholics when we use that language of serving Mary. It's serving Mary in that we serve her in the sense of honoring her as the most perfected creature that she is. And one biblical lens, Stephen, that might be helpful for you and your pastor friend here to look through is looking at Mary and her role within salvation history as the Gebirah, the great lady, the queen mother. I don't know if you're familiar with this concept, Stephen, but just in short, the queen in the ancient Near Eastern kingdoms was not the wife of the king, because there were many wives, but it was the mother of the king. And we see hints of this even in the Old Testament for the Davidic kingdom itself and the kingdom of Israel, more generally speaking. So, for example, we in 2 Chronicles 15, 16, Jeremiah 13, 18, we read about the queen mother in Hebrew there, the Gebirah, or the great lady. We have a great example in 2 Kings 11, 1 through 4, we read about Bathsheba. I'm looking at another passage here. It's 1 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we read about Bathsheba when she is the wife of King David. When she enters into David's chamber, she bows before him. But then in 1 Kings chapter 2, that's the 1 Kings 1. Then in 1 Kings chapter 2, as you go forward, when David dies, Solomon, his son, is reigning. Bathsheba's now the mother of the king. And whenever Bathsheba enters into the presence of King Solomon, he gets up off his throne, bows down before her, gives her honor, and then sets up a throne on his right hand for her to sit upon. So we see that the queen in the Davidic kingdom was the mother. Well, when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, hey, Mary, you want to give birth to, you know, the son of David who's going to sit upon his throne forever? He's King Jesus, right? And that if you become the mother, that means you're the mother of the king, which makes you the queen. So I say all this, Stephen, to lead to this end, that Mary is our queen mother of the new, restored, and transfigured Davidic kingdom, namely the Church of Jesus Christ. And inasmuch as she is our queen mother, Stephen, then we serve her, right? Just like they would serve the queen and honor the queen in the Old Testament. We serve our queen, Mary, and we honor her, but we give her an honor that is due to her as queen and also as the most perfected and exalted creature. Not a creator, right? She's not God, but a creature, a finite being. What do you think of that, Stephen?
Yeah, you know, I hold to that, you know, firmly, because, you know, I've been doing a lot of research. Our discussions lead me to do more and more research. And so I'm familiar with those things. It just seems like every time I try to explain these things, he's just really, really got his mind made up already that, no, this is what you teach.
Right. And he would probably say the same thing about you. You got your mind made up already. Right. So, I mean, we just have to, you know, try our best to ask questions, ask why he believes what he believes, and ask him, you might ask him, okay, have you ever considered this idea of the Queen Mother? And see what his response is. If his response is, yeah, I've read about that stuff. Well, then pursue that and say, okay, well, what did you find out about the Queen Mother? Like, do you acknowledge that there was the mother of the king was the queen in the Old Testament and was given honor? And if so, wouldn't that apply to Mary as well, in which we should give her honor as our queen? And see how he responds to that. And I would recommend a great book for you, Stephen, that deals particularly with this topic of Mary's queenship, but much more concerning Mary, and that is our own Behold Your Mother, written by our own colleague and friend Tim Staples, right? And so we published that here at Catholic Answers Press a few years back. But it's a great resource that deals with a variety of Marian topics, including Mary's queenship, that I guarantee, right, that you will enjoy and be helpful for you.
Stephen, thanks very, very much. Appreciate that. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. If you'd like to talk with Carlo about apologetics today, 888-318-7884. Do you, in your own kind of practice of the ministry of apologetics, ever come to a point where you say, I'm just not going to do this conversation for a while, or I'm going to step back from this? It's either not going somewhere, yeah, or maybe I need to work on the relationship
in
some other way. Like,
yeah, I mean, there are times when we come to those impasses, right,
yeah,
where you just can't go any further. So you either move to another topic, or you just lay off the conversation of religion as a whole in order to let things settle down, and then look for those opportunities where you have a natural progression of a conversation that would deal with these issues. So sometimes, yeah, you come to a point to where you can't move any further. And if you keep trying to push the envelope and you keep moving further, you know, and it's like the person's trying to get away from it, you keep dragging them back, you know, and they move away from you, drag them back. Well, I think that can do more harm than good sometimes in our overzealous, you know, in our an extraordinary zeal that we have, right? We might have good intentions, but we're not being prudent about the matter, which can lead to more harm than good. So, yeah, we have to be, and this has to do with being close to the Holy Spirit and listening to the Spirit and directing us and discerning when's the appropriate time to engage and when it's not the appropriate time to engage.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Carlo Broussard is our guest, and we've got brand new books, Carlo. Have you seen them yet?
Yes.
These are the brand new 20 Answers books that just came in. Marriage and Sex, Todd did this one. The Early Church, Jim Blackburn did that one. And then the Old Testament, Jimmy Akin. I'm glad to see all of those in the 20 Answers collection. The 20 Answers kind of series is up to 32 books.
Fantastic.
32 books.
Yeah, and this is another great resource for an introduction to apologetics.
Yeah.
You know, these are very easy to read, but profound answers to 20 questions concerning certain topic. Man, you got 32 topics. So I'm horrible at math. What's 32 times 20? I don't know. Maybe so you can calculate that.
32. I'm not good at math either, but it's more than 50. It's more than 50.
300. Well, that would be what?
Yeah. Just kidding. 640.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
So
I have manifested my ignorance.
And they're all I have a rule that I don't do math on the air. So I think that's an actual rule that I have, but I just sometimes fail at that. So I probably got that math wrong. But I mean, they're all great. Of course, there's the best of all of them is probably the one on miracles, but there's a lot of really...
Who wrote that one?
I believe that was the Cajun himself, Carlo Broussard.
That's why it's so good, sure.
Yeah. There we go. A little bit of Cajun came out. Pass the alligator. We are given a special deal on these 20 Answers samplers. That is, you get all 32 of them. You can, if you go to shop.catholic.com, you can get the whole sampler, and then they add the three new books for free. So go to shop.catholic.com and get them, and you get free shipping within the continental U.S. right now if you do that. Shop.catholic.com.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, listen to the Mass, listen to the early shows. I transition to my automobile, I flip it over on my iPhone, then start listening to it on the web. And then when I get in the car, I actually listen to it all the way to work. When I get to work, I actually even listen to it online while I'm sitting at my desk. I just love EWTN.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, talking into the microphone, not tapping on the desk, because I've been instructed to stop tapping on the desk. I just had a lot of fun when you're here, Carlo.
So. Well, thank you, Cy. If it makes you feel any better, brother, I didn't hear the thumping or the tapping.
Yeah, it was more like thumping than tapping. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. We're talking about apologetics. I just wanted to ask you one more thing before I go to callers. And hang on, Ginger and Phil. We're going to get to your calls next. So what if a person is like, well, I don't know if the apostles did all this apologetics stuff. Right. I mean, you think of like Justin Martyr as the first apologist because he wrote the Apologia. But didn't the apostles not bother with this?
Right. Well, first of all, we could ask the question, well, do we have a duty as Christians? Like, did the apostles – well, I guess the first question would be, did the apostles practice it? And the answer would be yes.
Oh.
Apollo practiced it in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, for example, when he goes to Thessalonica. And we're told in the scriptures that he spent 3 weeks with the Jews in the synagogue, arguing with them from the scriptures. So he was engaging in a form of apologetics, using the Old Testament scriptures as a source of authority and common ground to engage the Jews with, right? But when he goes to Athens in the Areopagus in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, he begins employing another form of apologetics, namely dealing with the preambles of faith and mystery and reality outside the boundaries of scriptures, right? Reality that we could come to know philosophically, and the unknown God that you worship, I come here to proclaim to you, right?
Yeah.
And he gets a few converts, not a lot, but a few. But nevertheless, he's engaging in it. Even St. Paul would tell us himself in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5 through 6, he would give us instruction about, destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take thoughts captive to obey Christ.
Wow. That's pretty clear.
It's pretty strong, but the idea is that, and this brings up another reason why apologetics is so important, and that is there are errors out there. There are bad ways of thinking and bad philosophy that's going on that impedes individuals from coming to know the truth about God, Jesus, and His church. And what greater act of love can there be than to help remove those impediments and those obstacles, and to clarify one's thinking so that they can see reality as it is, which is the essence of sanity, and to live in accord with it, as Frank J. Sheed used to say.
Theology and sanity.
That's right, brother.
Shall we go to Ginger?
Yeah, let's go to Ginger.
Ginger in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. You are up. Your question for Carlo.
Well, thank you very much. I teach RCIA, and I think of myself as a catechist.
Right.
But I use a lot of apologetic stuff. So what's the difference between a catechist and an apologist?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ginger. So you might say that a catechist is one who, performs the act of catechesis. And catechesis is basically simply handing on the Catholic faith, right? And that fundamentally is the endeavor of answering the question, what we believe. So as a catechist, you're going to hand on the whatness, right? We believe X, Y, Z, A, B, C, as articulated here in the 12 articles of the Creed. This is what we believe. But any time, Ginger, that you try to give a reason why we believe what we believe. So why do we believe that Jesus is God? Why do we believe in the bodily resurrection, right? Why do we believe in that Jesus is present in the Eucharist? Anytime you give a reason why, you're engaging in a distinct act of ministry, right? Namely, apologetics. Granted, they're closely united, right? They're right there with one another, but they are distinct. Catechesis handing on the what, apologetics giving the why. Whether that reason is from philosophy, so suppose you're trying to give a reason by the natural light of human reason why we think God exists, right? That would be, or perhaps the reason could be biblical. Maybe you're giving a biblical reason why we believe that Jesus is in the Eucharist, if you're trying to establish that truth. So there are different ways in which we can go about apologetics, whether we're using just reason alone, or we're giving biblical reasons by using the Bible, or we're looking at the Bible as history. So we're giving historical reasons why we think that Jesus rose from the dead. Historical reasons why we think that the Catholic Church is the original church established by Jesus Christ. So though although they are closely connected with one another in the ministry and evangelization, they are nevertheless distinct. And it's important to draw that distinction in order to know exactly what you're doing for clarity's sake. But by no means should we exalt one to the exclusion of the other. All right. However, the audience or the person to whom you're speaking will determine which one of the two you're going to emphasize more. Right. So, Cy, you may very well just ask me a simple question. Well, what does the Catholic Church teach about X, belief X? Right.
Right.
And I'll say, well, here's what the Catholic Church teaches. Is that satisfactory for your inquiry? Yeah, sure. OK, well, have a great day. And there was no need to engage in apologetics. Right.
Yeah.
I just simply engaged
you
in catechesis.
Yeah.
I catechized you. But of course, you may ask, OK, well, that's interesting teaching. Well, why is that? And then my answers that follow, I'm engaging in apologetics. And they're both ordered to the same end. Union with the truth, union with Jesus Christ. So what do you think of that, Ginger?
Well, I think that's great, but then you use the word evangelization to throw another big word into the mix there.
Sure.
So how does that word intermingle with the
right.
other two?
Yeah, no, that's another great question. And you might look at catechesis and apologetics as two of many means of achieving the end of this whole project of evangelization, namely union with Jesus Christ. Evangelization is sharing the good news, right? And that sharing of the good news comes in a variety of forms. It comes in our practice, our liturgical worship. It comes in our moral life, right? In the way we live that our lives. It comes in telling people what we believe. It comes, that sharing of the good news is also embodied in the act of telling people why we believe what we believe. That's apologetics. So you notice you got liturgy, you got the moral life, you got catechesis or the creed, you got apologetics, a reason defense of what we believe in the creed, and all of these different things come together. I'm thinking of that song right now. Come together right now. So they all come together. They all come together to constitute this overall project that we call evangelization, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ for the sake of leading people into intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
It almost sounds like a human being is an organic whole that needs to be approached holistically.
Oh, man, you just hit the nail on the head right there, Si. You got me going right here, man, brother. Because listen, it all springs from or flows from what we are as human beings. We're rational animals, right?
Yeah.
So we need liturgy to appeal to the sensory apparatus of the human being, to our bodies, right? We live the moral life, which engages physical activity, okay?
Yeah.
But we're rational animals, so we need intellectual answers. You know, we need intellectual information to satisfy the mind, because it's the mind that's meant by God to direct the will for the good. So indeed, all of these different things that we do in evangelization flows from our nature as human beings.
Ginger, how's all that?
That's very good. I really appreciate that because, you know, I've been wondering how to separate those all out in my mind when
Beautiful.
I'm, you know, because I teach RCIA and I get a lot of questions.
Amen to that.
Ginger, I'd like to send you a copy of Carlo's book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, because you said you work in RCIA. It's very important work. Thank you for doing it. And I'd like to have, you know, I think that book, that's a good book for somebody who works in RCIA.
I'd say so myself.
All right. So if you'll hang on, then I'm not supposed to say digits anymore. Marie will get your information and your address, and we will send you that book. And that Not, your address will probably include numbers, which are called digits, but I'm not supposed to say digits on the air anymore. I've been scolded about that. Apparently, when you say get your digits, that implies a kind of desire to date someone.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. So I got bossed around by the young people here.
Ooh, brother.
So do you want to say something before I go to Phil?
Yeah, I was just going to say Ginger brings up she is an excellent example of why apologetics matters. Because notice, Cy, she said she's in RCIA instructing people who are coming into the faith. And what did she say at the end? They have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And apologetics is that which equips us to answer those questions, and questions that weigh heavy on people's hearts, right, and minds, and they're seeking answers. And folks, we have those answers here at Catholic Answers, of course, but we have those answers in our Catholic tradition, and it's just a matter of sharing those answers with people who have these questions. And God bless Ginger for the work that she's doing and calling in
right.
to get answers to those questions that are being asked.
Phil in Mississippi watching on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us on YouTube Live, Phil. Your question for Carlo.
Hey, Carlo.
Hey,
Thank
Phil.
Thank you for taking my calls. So I have a situation here. I used to be a Southern Baptist. I'm now a Catholic. And I'm trying to get that out to the rest of my family.
Amen.
But they're so closed-minded. And I blame myself partially because I used to be so militantly anti-Catholic.
Right.
So they're kind of looking at me. They're like, well, what do you know?
Right.
You know, you used to...
You just flip-flopped, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get your foot in the door? Well, first of all, realize this, Phil, that we're all on a different journey in knowledge, in the pursuit of knowledge, right? And in God's providential plan, you just so happened to find that truth with clarity in order to embrace it at that particular juncture in your journey in the pursuit of knowledge. And those graces just simply might not be there for your family members and friends to come to the knowledge of that truth with clarity in order to embrace it. It might be at some other point on the journey in their quest for knowledge and living in accord with what they know to be true. So we just have to realize that up front so that we don't get frustrated when we share the truth with our family members and friends and they don't convert, right? And they don't accept it as true. And that can raise the emotions, right? And sort of cloud our judgment in how we're to approach these things. So that's the first thought, practically speaking. Now, secondly, you want to keep in mind that, you know, you don't want to force the issue, right? You don't want to cower at the same time, but you want to be prudent about it. And so, you know, you don't want to go to a family meeting and say, oh, well, you know, John chapter 6, Jesus says, eat his flesh and drink his blood, you know, so bam, the Catholic Church is right and you Protestants are wrong type of thing, right? And it's just kind of like out of the blue and you're like, what's this dude's problem, right? So one thing that I think we have to try to do and consciously do is just engage in natural conversation, just like you do any other conversation, right? And of course, these are Baptist family members and friends, so they love Jesus, right? And they love talking about going to church. And they went to their Wednesday service or their Sunday service, right? And so look for those opportunities whenever they pitch a ball. And if they pitch a ball, hey, man, you're ready to swing. So it might come as, you know, they might say something like, yeah, we went to our service Sunday, and, you know, Pastor Bob said X. Oh, well, that's interesting. And engage them in a natural conversation. Like you're honestly concerned about what the pastor said, or you want to know, you know, you're inquiring, well, what did he say and why did he say that? And then once you ask these questions in a natural, organic way, Phil, well, then you will see the opportunities to begin picking apart those positions, exposing their flaws, and then sharing the truth of the Catholic faith.
Phil, thank you for that call. Thanks to everybody who called. Thank you, Carlo Broussard.
Yeah, I ran out of time on that one, so sorry, Phil.
That's right. You can always call back. We have Carlo on all the time. You can also get his book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Marie, did you get Ginger's address? Did it have numbers in the address? Okay, we call those digits. I'm so vindictive. Sorry. Carlo, 2 hours of open forum tomorrow, and go on the cruise with Carlo. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com.
Thank you, Si.
Thank you, Carlo. Sorry I didn't say hi to you at the beginning.
I forgive him.
I appreciate the forgiveness. See you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.